a guten Erev Shabbos. Just want to take this opportunity to share with you a brief thought from the Parsha. We know that in Parsha's Balak, the primary storyline is that Balak, the king of Moab, is exceedingly nervous about the rapidly approaching fledgling nation of Am Yisrael. They've already overtaken Sichon and Og. They've already demonstrated that they are a force to be reckoned with. And Balak is entrusted by the remaining nations of Canaan to somehow safeguard their homeland against the advancing Jewish people. Balak realizes that he cannot engage the people with conventional means, hires Bilam, a Gentile prophet from the nation of Moab, in order to go ahead and curse them. And we know the story. Bilam tries repeatedly to go ahead and curse Klal Yisrael, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu has different plans. In all fairness, Bilam warns Balak in advance that the only thing he'll be able to say, the only words he'll be able to utter, are those words that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts in his mouth. But nevertheless, the Mefarshim tell us, Bilam felt that he could overcome the will of God. Bilam felt that some way, somehow, he'd be able to utter a curse. And time again, he is reminded that even the words that come out of our mouth are ultimately under the shlita, under the control and dominion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But something interesting happens. After the first time that Bilam tries to curse the Jewish people, Balak says to Bilam, now again for attempt number two. So remember, after attempt number one, instead of a curse, it was a blessing. So Balak says the following to Bilam. Vayomer elav Balak. Balak says to Bilam, this is now for attempt number two. Lechana iti al makom acher, come with me to a different place. Asher tireno misham efetz katseutira, the kulo lo sire. The Kavna Lo Misham. So this is Parakov Gimel, chapter 23, Pasuk Yud Gimel, verse 13. Balak says to Bilam, let's try our luck in a different place. I'm going to take you to a place where you'll be able to see Afa Efes Katsehu Sira, the Chula Lo Sira. You'll only be able to see a part of the people. Efes Katsehu, just a small segment of the people, but you will not be able to see the entirety of the Jewish nation, v'kavol li misham, and you will be able to curse the people for me from there. And the question that the Mefarshim ask is, what's happening over here? Why is it that Balak feels that if Bilam only sees part of the people, that somehow, instead of the entire nation, that somehow he'll have greater success in cursing Am Yisrael? And there are many different answers. The Briska Rav quotes the Yalkut Shimoni, who explains that if we go back to the first quote-unquote curse that Bilam tried to utter, so Bilam said, Ki merosh tsurim erenu, literally from the top of mountains I see them. And the Medrash writes, what does it mean, tops of mountains? This refers to the Zuchus Avos and Imos. It refers ultimately to the merits of our patriarchs and our matriarchs. And so therefore explains the Briska Rav that what Balak was saying to Bilam was, look, perhaps I was too ambitious in my first goals. Perhaps I can't curse the entire Jewish nation, or better stated, I can't have you curse the entire nation. The nation as a whole is too strong. Therefore, let me take you to a place where you won't see the entire nation, but Efetz Katsehu, you'll see part of the nation. Because perhaps if we can't be successful with cursing the entirety of Am Yisrael, of the Jewish people, perhaps, Bilam, you will be successful in at least cursing some segment, some smaller group of Klal Yisrael. Let the curse devolve upon at least some individuals, if it can't devolve upon the entire nation. And therefore, says the Briska Rav, Balak, in attempt number two, takes Bilam to a place where he's not going to see the nation in its entirety, but rather only some segment of the nation, perhaps in order to escape Zechus Avos, in order to kind of go around the merits of our matriarchs and patriarchs, which devolve upon the entire nation, and hopefully be able to curse individuals, because perhaps individuals of Klal Yisrael are perhaps more susceptible, or perhaps have some type of inherent weakness. The Zechus Avos doesn't protect them as well, and therefore, if we can't curse the whole, let's at least curse part of the nation. But perhaps what Bilam was saying was something different. Perhaps Bilam was saying was like this: you know, Balak, here's the problem. When you look at the nation in its entirety, when you see them all together, when you look at any either individual or nation in its entirety, you're always going to see good. But sometimes if you choose to dissect a person or a nation and just look at parts of them instead of the whole, then it's much easier to find the negative traits. It's much easier to find the negative characteristics. It's much easier to find the negative midos. So Balak says to Bilam, Bilam, perhaps our problem is that you looked at the nation as a whole. You looked at the nation, Mirosh Tsurim, you stood on top of the mountain, you saw the panoramic view, and together you saw the collective good. But you know what, perhaps we need to focus you a little bit more. Don't look at the nation, look at individuals. Don't look at the whole, look at the parts. And inevitably, when you look at the parts, you'll be able to find something negative. And there's an incredible lesson for us in this as well, which is that sometimes when we have interpersonal strife, whether it's in our marriages, chas v'shalom, or whether it's with our children, or whether it's with our friends or in our community, often it's because someone does something negative, says something negative, does something hurtful to me, and I may have objectively been wronged. But the problem is, we often look at that one event in a vacuum and not in context. We see the mean or negative thing that the person did to us, and that somehow colors the person or my experiences with this person in its entirety, in his or her entirety. Instead of just simply saying, this is one event, but let me look at the person as a whole. Let me look at the person in its entirety. Sometimes a husband and a wife have a disagreement. And what happens? A husband becomes so upset. I can't believe my wife did this. Why? Because he's only looking at Efes Katsehu. He's only looking at a small part of who his wife is, of what his wife is. He's only looking at one moment in a marriage, as opposed to looking at his wife through the entire context of the marital continuum, realizing all of the good times, realizing all of the beautiful times. Yes, my wife did something to hurt me. My wife did something to upset me. But at the end of the day, that's only Efes Katsayu. That's only one part. I have to try to look at the individual as part of the whole. How many times in friendships does it happen that a friend is not there for me in a time of need? And maybe it really was a failure on the part of my friend. But what about all of the other times when the individual was there for me? What about all the other times where the individual did come through? Sometimes when my friend fails me, all I see is Efes Katsehu. All I see is one little part, but I failed to see the whole. Bilam, Balak, understood this. And that's why Balak tried to focus Bilam on just seeing the negative parts of Klal Yisrael instead of seeing them as a whole, instead of seeing them as a collective. Ultimately, Bilam and Balak fail because the Ribono Shel Olam foiled their plans. But this message resonates with us. It's always important, but it's especially important today. Tomorrow, we know, is the calendrical date of Shevaser B'Tammuz. And on Sunday, we observe the Nidcheh, the pushed-off fast of Shevaser B'Tammuz, which begins for us a very difficult and sad period on our calendar. The period of Bina Mitzar and the period of the 3 weeks, where we mourn so much. We mourn thousands of years of loss. We mourn the loss of the first Beis HaMikdash, of the second Beis HaMikdash, and all of the tragedies that have occurred starting 2,200 years ago, 3,000 years ago, until this very day. And it's important for us to understand that at the root of so much of our difficulties is our inability to get along with one another, is our inability to live b'shalom, b'shalva, b'yachad, is our inability to accept the fact that although we may be different, we must learn not just simply to coexist, but we must learn to love. And I would make a humble suggestion that I think one of the ways that we could work on our Avas Yisrael, one of the ways in which we could cultivate a greater love and acceptance of the other, is to look at the other in his or her totality. Instead of looking at just the negative characteristics, the negative traits, instead of just looking at the failures of the individual, to try to look at the individual as a whole, to try to look at the individual and try to see the good, even in those moments where sometimes the negativity is a bit amplified, That's the avoda of the 3 weeks. This is our job over the next couple of weeks, over this incredibly painful national time, is to try to rectify the sins of the past. Our ancestors only saw the negative, only saw the evil, only saw the bad in one another. And if we are going to change this dynamic, if we're going to turn this around, we can't be Efes Katsehu Jews. We can't be the kind of people that just simply see only part of the other, but we must learn to see the totality of the other. And something amazing happens. You know what happens when you begin to look at the totality of another Jew? You know what happens when you begin to look at the wholeness of your fellow Yid? Is suddenly you begin to see Matovu Ohalecha Yaakov Mishkin Osecha Yisrael. You begin to see how good, how beautiful, and how holy the other truly is. Yes, the other has faults because we each have faults. The other has deficiencies because we have deficiencies. That's part of our fabric. That's part of the nature of not just the Jewish, but the human condition. But our avoda is to see the other in his or her entirety. To see the other not just for the failures, but to see the other for the good as well. It's this Shabbos that we remember that our enemies love to focus on our deficiencies, that our enemies are always quick to point out our weaknesses, our vulnerabilities, and our mistakes. Let us not be our own worst enemy. Let us learn to love. Let us learn to accept. Let us learn to embrace the other, our fellow Jew. Let us not live life with an Efes Katsehu, only seeing a part of the individual, but let us learn, let us find the strength to be able to see each other, to be able to see one another in our totality, in our fullness. And inevitably, we will come to love each other. Because when you look at another Jew and you see them in their entirety, in their fullness, it is impossible not to see the good. It is impossible not to see the beauty. It is impossible not to see the holiness. So on this Erev Shabbos of Shivastra B'Tammuz, I give us all the bracha that over the next couple of weeks, we should be zocha to work on our Avas Yisrael. We should be zocha Mirat Hashem to work on our love for one another. And just as we lost the Beis HaMikdash, our beautiful, holy, and magnificent Beis HaMikdash, because of sinna, because of animosity, because of discord, because just of negative feelings towards one another, let us be zocha Mirat Hashem to generate so much love between one another within our nation over the next couple of weeks, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has kiviyachol no choice but to give us our beautiful third Beis HaMikdash, to bring the Melech HaMashiach b'mhira b'yameinu, and to change these 3 weeks from 3 weeks of pain, suffering, and loss to weeks, months, and years of jubilation and celebration. Wishing you each a beautiful Shabbos from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, and hoping that our fast will quickly turn to a Yom Tov. A guten Erev Shabbos, a beautiful, restful, and meaningful Shabbos, and halavai simchas for us and for all Klal Yisrael.